This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome to the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Every week we're breaking down a certain technique, and I mean, we're talking about it from the tip of the rod butt to the point of the hook, all right?
Yes, sir.
So let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. We're talking winter blackmouth fish, and the text toy just lit up, and wouldn't you know, I want to talk a little downrigger technique, and somebody just lit, what was it say?
Thank you from the 360. 13 legal blackmouth to the boat in one day off Bainbridge Island. Kept Dude. A couple of nice 12-pounders, and what was he using?
Hey!
Right. He was mooching.
Yeah.
Thank you
yeah.
from the 360. 6-ounce banana sinker and a cut plug herring.
So not only did the text toy light up, but Ansley's face exploded when he read cut plug
that.
Herring and mooching.
Finally, somebody that's really actually fishing.
Yeah.
So okay. Let's go trolling.
No, so let's go trolling. All right. So I tell you what, these days, the conversation with downrigger fishing is what? It's between braid with a top shot and monofilament right now. It's kind of old school, going simple. I'm still a 25 monofilament guy.
Yeah, but
I tell
right.
you what, that braid.
What kind of mono are you running?
You know, I'm running that Trilene big game.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great line.
And it's high viz.
That's all I use.
Yeah. Tough stuff. Yeah,
yeah
so strong.
Definitely using that high viz stuff and just all the way down to the hook. Okay, with rods these days, where does a rod show its age? Right on the cork, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those Lama Glass Kenai Quicks, composite sticks, right? Man, I tell you what, they don't bind up in the rod holder. And if you consider the life of a downrigger rod, man, it sits there all day and just gets ground,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Dwayne did his level best to bust one of those things fighting a seal at Mid-Channel Bank this summer.
I thought that thing was going to explode.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you what, it held its weight. It was fantastic.
So moving from that now, so that those new Daiwa Saltist reels, you load up with that, you get the right size stick. And to me, if you have a decent size, if you have a boat in a 16, 18, 20-foot category, that's a big enough boat to use a 12.5-foot rod, okay? Or excuse me, 10.5-foot
rod. 10.5-foot
rod. It's 12.5. Yeah, that'd be
where'd that come from?
But the 10.5 footers,
yes.
Not only will they help you gather slack if you do get a release off your downrigger, but if you get a fish on, it decides to go to the other side of the boat, man, you got enough reach of that to fish that thing out around your gear.
Yep.
Okay? So now we're all set up. Now we need to talk about the business end. And despite the fact that guys are getting them mooching, which is great, right? For downrigger.
Most everybody's trolling.
Most everybody's trolling.
This is pretty rare that a guy's out mooching. That's why I got all excited. So now you're running. You got your rod all set up. You got high-vis line. Are you going directly to the flasher, or are you going to stop short and have a swivel above your flasher?
See,
what are you doing there?
You know what? There's two ways to look at this. For one thing, you need to make the end of your mono off, and whether you're running braid on your reel or mono, the end of that, you know, business end, clipping your downrigger clips is going to be on mono. So to the end of the mono, I'm an old bead chain and McMahon snap guy for a couple of different reasons.
So you're running a bead chain, McMahon step, and then right
and
to
then
your flasher.
Right to the flasher.
Okay, then you got a flasher. You usually run 11-inch flashers, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
They span the spectrum.
So now the real technique and business end comes, what's the construction of your leader material, and what are you running on the end of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to go leader shy on this deal. If you're using 20, you know, 20-pound test leader, doggone it, you really don't need to. 25, 30, even up to 40
pounds.
For spoons.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. And then there's some work to do to the spoon as well. Leader lengths, you need to look right 40, 42, 44 inches for blackmouth. Some guys run them shorter. That's fine. Okay. The main thing is, though, don't use light stuff between your flasher and your spoon. You need to stiffen that up because a big blackmouth, even a 12, 13 pounder, can swim alongside that flasher and jerk his head and pop your leader. Okay. So heavy stuff. Now we get down to the business end. Okay. If you look at the bait size that's predominant in Puget Sound right now, what is it? Firecracker herring. We're talking red
little,
label, orange label stuff.
Guys, yep.
And so you can mimic that very, very nicely with coyote spoons. Okay. From Lure Jensen. They do a great job. Number of different colors. And we'll, when we get to the last cast video, we'll talk about colors a little bit, but anything that has a little bit of white on it, a little bit of purple on it, a little bit of chartreuse on it. I mean, you talk about, you know, what's your go-to color for steelhead? Pink.
Yeah.
What's your go-to color for Chinook? you know, quite often at chartreuse, whether you're in a river or out in the sound. And I'm always going to have something down there with a little bit of green or chartreuse on it. But you look at when a spoon comes out of the package, whether it's a Coyote from Lure Jensen or a Silverhorn, I've never really been satisfied with factory hooks.
But there's a couple, okay, factory hooks, that's one way to go. And then you put some bends in your spoons, too. And then with your Coyotes and your Kingfishers, you might just put a very subtle little bend in there. But with your Coho Killers, you tweak that thing pretty hard. So
yeah,
talk about that briefly.
I bend them up pretty good. If you look at a Coho Killer, it's basically what I call a three-angle spoon, okay, because there's two discernible bends in it, right? I always bend that just a little bit more. Now, you don't want to bend them back by the tail because you'll get some metal fatigue in them. And also, generally, I will add a swivel to the back of them because not only does it put that hook farther back and get it in the fish's, little deeper in the fish's mouth, but it also reduces the amount of leverage that fish has on that on the back of the spoon in particular. Now, that's with the Coho Killer, the very thin wire spoons. But with the larger, wider spoons, like the Kingfishers or the Lure Jensen Coyote spoons, that's a two-bend spoon, all right? And they're more gentle. I'll increase a bend on the front of that spoon and bend it back. Actually, you and I filmed a video on that that's on theoutdoorline.com describing that very technique. Then it's open eye siwash time on the back of that hook. I really don't like the stock hooks, and I don't know what it is. I've always been kind of a Gamakatsu or a Mustad guy, and doggone it, the hooks that you can get these days already have almost an octopus character to it, even though they're a siwash hook. Am I making sense?
Absolutely. Okay. So when you take that little spoon there, Nelson, and you put a little tweak or bend into it, so you put your gear down the water and you're watching the action of that thing, what are you looking for versus just the factory bend that those come with that a lot of guys fish? What are you trying to accomplish by putting a little bit more of a bend to it?
The spoons are pretty flat and featureless when they come out, most of them, right? So by kicking up the front end, the leading edge of that spoon, you're going to see a darting action on that spoon. And that's what you want to see, because if something's just laying there, even though it's moving through the water and it doesn't have anything to entice them, it's just debris. It won't excite a strike, because quite often, you know, it ain't the meat, it's the motion.
The other nice thing, when that thing's darting all over the place, they have to commit. They got to catch it.
Yeah.
Sure.
When it's just sitting there, it's just fluttering in a straight line. They swim behind it. And you watch underwater video of fish, you know, blackmouth, back from the Great Lakes, they do this all the time. They get a lot of video of salmon chasing spoons. And when they're just sitting there fluttering along, cruising along, you'll get 100 fish that'll come up and chase that thing.
Actually look at it and just...
And then they just kind of drift off. But boy, you get one darting all over the place. They got to go up there and they got to catch the damn thing. And I think you're going to get a lot more hookups that way, because they can't just shove their nose right up in the back of it and figure out, yeah, that's a spoon. If it's darting all over the place, like, that's a bait fish. I need to catch it and eat it right now.
Well, yeah, exactly. When they go after bait fish, those bait fish are darting all over the place. So they don't just sit there and kind of swim along, you know, when a big old Chinook's coming on their tail.
Yeah, with a Chinook in their up their hiney.
Yeah, so they actually, them fish dart all over, and they're used to chasing bait that actually moves and is all sporadic like that.
That's
so,
it. Well, that's your Three Rivers Marine Tech Line presented by Daiwa. And the cool thing about going to Three Rivers, you got guys like Ken Alger up there
that
spend a ton of time on saltwater. They'll get you hooked up there as well.
Well, talk about that Lama Glass Kenai Quick. You can buy that in a stock rod that works great, but Kent makes his own custom Lama Glass trolling rod that is money. And he'll do batches of about 20, and they're gone within 24 hours.
Yeah, people want their hands on them quick.
Yeah,
so.
If you talk to Kent over there, ask him about those custom rods, because they evaporate when he has them shipped in there.
Yep, so make sure to follow up on this with our Last Cast segment. That'll be up on the old Facebook and our webpage, of course, where it'll be hosted. Catch our Last Cast segment. We're going to break down the show actual, all the gear you just spoke of.
Absolutely.
Right?
And maybe even bend a spoon. Another one. On
live.
Yes. Okay, let's
on
go mooching.
Okay,
you.
Let's go mooching.
Stop it.
That's enough of that.
Yeah, all right. You don't always need bait.
Well done. Okay. Well done, Nelson.
Right, we'll be right back on The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.